Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I am Bama John. In this episode, we are going to do a deep dive on Bama's big road win over Missouri, 27-24. It was a battle of Heisman contenders with Ty Simpson for Bama and Ahmad Hardy for Missouri. One team was exposed. One player was exposed. This game showed who are the contenders and who are the pretenders. Bama keeps it rolling as Ty shines. Today is, Tuesday? It's Tuesday, October 14th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 5,100 subscribers to our YouTube channel and growing. Subscribe, hit the notify button. And today we are joined by T-Pain and Will K. Will K, back from a hiatus. Man, it's been a great first half of the season. We rebounded after a bad loss at FSU, but that didn't let us define this team or ruin the season. All right, guys, thoughts after further review. Will K, what thoughts do you have after thinking about this game more and what a big win it was?
Well, after that first drive, I was not too optimistic, but we answered quickly and then they didn't score for a while. Ahmad Hardy was supposed to run for 200 yards against us. He didn't really do anything. Bo Prabula, you know, he played okay, but he had some pretty pivotal turnovers. And Ty Simpson played well again, some clutch fourth downs. The defense got stops when needed. I was not impressed with Domani Jackson. He needs to maybe get his spot taken. And then Wilkin Formby is not impressing me either. You know, grew up with Wilkin, everything, love him to death. There would be no Taco Casa without your granddad, Wilkin. But I think that maybe we need to go in a different direction. But, you know, can't complain about a win.
I'm hoping Wilkin can move to guard and be more productive there, Will. So I'm going to – but, yeah, he's struggling at – right tackle for sure. Yeah. All right, T-Pain, thoughts, but, just thoughts of the game.
But we do, and we'll take a Taco Casa sponsorship. Isn't that right? For sure. My thought is, I mean, listen, I'm proud of the guys. We have won three in a row of ranked
teams. Bam!
Bam, that's huge. We beat, you know, Georgia, ranked team on the road, Vanderbilt, a very good team at home, and now another team on the road. And so DeBoer's kind of getting that monkey off his back about being a, you know, not be able, being able to coach on the road. So, you know, we kind of suffocated them, you know, kind of put the squeeze on them. And until, you know, the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half, it's kind of like we've kind of lost our mojo again. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm proud of the guys. We found a way to win, and I think we're going to continue that trend into this weekend.
And I'll say one more thing. On that last play, Prabula missed a guy wide open on the left side of the field. He would have scored a touchdown, more than likely. At least would have gotten in field goal range. But he was wide open. I mean, there was nobody over there. But he didn't, so whatever.
That's right. Oh, by the way, guys, I'm bringing out the black hoodie. Yeah. And I'm going to be 1-0 with the black hoodie this week too, baby.
Well, guys, when you keep mentioning hoodie, I keep thinking of Chapel Bill in the hoodie, the light blue hoodie. That's not going so well there, but that's
but his hoodie's a cutoff though.
That's another topic for another day. But woo boy, that's a rough outing over there right now. I don't know how much you're getting any dose of that, Will, being in Greensboro, but woo, it's ugly.
Yeah, not good.
So, a couple of things. DeBoer is 2-0 on the road in the SEC. Love it. 5-1 overall. 3-0 in the 3-0 in the SEC. That's our record at the halfway point. I'll take it. If you told me we're going to be 5-1 and 3-0 in the SEC at the halfway point, at the turn, so to speak, I will take it. I'm really happy with where we are. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the only game we've lost is the game that I've been to. So I don't think I'll be going to another game this year. I don't know what it is. I just bad mojo. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you can't complain. I mean, Florida State has just taking a dive now. I mean, that loss, I mean, can look as bad as it wants to now. It's only, if it's only one loss, they could keep losing and we keep winning. I wouldn't care. At that point, I would just think that it was a fluke, and it might be. But we still got a few, you know, hard games coming up. Tennessee's got a pretty good offense. LSU's, you know, always got talent. I don't think Nussmeier, their offense has looked great, but they have a good defense. John Mateer, Oklahoma, you never know with South Carolina on the road. And then Auburn on the road is always a toss-up. I don't care if they're 2-10, it's still Auburn on the road. And we saw what happened with them against Georgia. And I will say, I don't like Auburn at all, but I watched that game and the refs totally screwed them over.
That
I don't
care
about many games, but I mean, that was really bad on a number of things. But like where we are right now.
T-Pain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we did our preseason predictions, I thought we would go undefeated and maybe lose one game somewhere along the way. Never expected that one, of course. but I thought, you know, what we're seeing now, I can't, of course, I didn't know this, but I thought we would be a really potent offense with Ryan Grubb. And I just felt that Ty Simpson would be solid, and he's beyond solid. So I think our, you know, 5-1. Yeah, I'd take it. If you told me we were 5-1, I'd probably thought we lost at Georgia, and but we didn't. We lost at Florida State. So, but the way we're playing now, I mean, if you told me we go 11-1, I'd believe you. We're playing really well.
We're favored in every game on the rest of the schedule, and actually Tennessee by ESPN's metrics is the one that's predicted to be the closest of all of them. So I like that. Now,
more so than Oklahoma?
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the predictive metrics, yes. I'm not going to pull it up right now. But I think we have a 72% chance of beating Tennessee. We have a 74% chance of beating Oklahoma and a 74% chance of beating Auburn. So those are our toughest games left on the schedule based on the way you
LSU.
Look at it. Nope. I think we've got like a 75% chance to beat LSU. Oh, LSU's not looking too good in the metrics. They're really struggling on their offense. Plus, it's a home game. So it's interesting.
They might lose to Vanderbilt this weekend.
I know. They've got a tough game. They have to go to Vanderbilt. That's an elimination game, guys. Whoever loses that game is going to have a tough row to hoe. Interesting thing about Tennessee this weekend, and we'll do another show as we do the preview of Tennessee. This game that Tennessee plays against us is the hardest game they have left on the schedule. So they could lose to Georgia and to us, and they're likely still going to go 10-2. So it begs the question, does a 10-2 Tennessee team that will not have beaten a top, unless Vanderbilt's a top 25 team when they beat them, will have not beaten a top 25 team their whole year, do they deserve to get into the playoffs? So that's an interesting thing
more,
to think
more
about.
More than Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame beats USC, and they've got USC that they've got to beat, and USC could get ranked, that's going to be an interesting thing is, do you take Tennessee or Notre Dame? I don't know.
Well, I mean, Tennessee has a harder schedule than Notre Dame.
And not really. You look at Tennessee's schedule, it's pretty weak. It's where they get –
like, I don't know, I just feel like if you play an SEC schedule, it's harder than Notre Dame's schedule. But
Notre Dame's losses are to Miami and Texas A&M, who are both undefeated in the top five. So it's going to be an interesting.
I think the SEC is so loaded this year that I don't know. I mean, we'll see what Ole Miss and Texas A&M do,
right?
Because usually those teams, they have hope, but they kind of lose to people they shouldn't. But they're undefeated so far. Ole Miss has Georgia this week. I don't see Georgia losing two home games in the same season. I don't know who A&M plays that's tough besides Texas. Do they play Oklahoma?
No.
Yeah, I think the SEC is so loaded this year. There's going to be a lot of teams in there, so it'll be
pretty. Okay, that leads me to an offshoot question, and then we'll get back on track.
Okay.
But would you take the SEC or the field to win the national championship?
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, I think the best odds right now is Ohio State. So it's the SEC versus Ohio State and Miami, pretty much.
Well, throw Indiana in there because all of a sudden Indiana put their.
No, they're not going to do it. They'll lose to somebody.
Well, they might lose to Ohio State, but remember, Ohio State lost twice and then winning
the playoffs.
Texas
Tech is in there. They're pretty good.
They're pretty
Oregon,
good.
Still?
I think
maybe
Oregon's been exposed, I think, guys. I think we realize Oregon's not the cream of the crop. They're in that next, you know, they're in that 5 to 15 range, I think. But I think Indiana, I was very impressed.
Maybe with how Ohio State and Miami are playing, maybe the field.
Yeah, I'll take the field, too. And let me tell you why. This is what I hate about college football, is that, you know, we're all going to the same mountain, right, trying to. But our road there is a lot harder than other teams' roads. And so, you know, you get bumps and bruises along the way like we saw this weekend. I mean, that can happen. Every weekend, SEC, it's not quite apples to apples, man. I mean, yeah, we're all trying to get to that national championship game, but not all roads are the same. And so, and unfortunately, I think an SEC team has a much, much harder road to get there. So I would take the field, too.
I agree with you. All right, guys, I got one rant I've got to bring out, and I'm going to go for it. I want to get your thought.
Boom. Okay, you're about to get in trouble.
Stephen A. Smith, what a ridiculous rant he had after the FSU loss that DeBoer needs to be fired and replace that Deion, and that DeBoer can't coach and Deion's a better choice. That how ridiculous was that take, and how did that age? Look at how Deion's doing when he loses Travis Hunter and he loses his son, and he did have.
He wasn't good with them either.
He was okay, but the point is that he would be better for DeBoer, and that he would get this program to a national championship level, and that DeBoer couldn't hang. What a ridiculous take!
What do you mean, Wilkay? They retired their jerseys. They were really good.
They went 4-8 one year with them, and then
8-4 last year. Yeah,
I mean that's not, you know, very high caliber winning. 8-4.
That's the dumb Alabama rant of the year, I think, that Stephen A. So we give him, and I think we're going to do a segment every week where dumb Alabama rants, and I give that one. And then, Rick, you brought up a second one to my attention. How did you like your boy Joel Klatt's prediction and all those check marks that he gave to Missouri and why Missouri was going to beat us? How did that one age? That didn't go too well either.
I think in the last 3 weeks, a lot of people have had us losing. People thought Georgia was going to beat us. A lot of people have Vanderbilt, and then a good amount of people have Missouri, and maybe some people have Tennessee this week. So, I mean, whatever.
But shout out to Bama grad Greg McElroy. He called it. He said Alabama would go and take care of business at Missouri. And, you know, granted, he's probably going to be a little bit of a homer and want to predict that Bama wins anyway. But he called it. So hats off to McElroy. Stephen A. Smith, dumb Alabama rant of the year. You get my award so far. And Joel Klatt, you get the bad prediction of the week on Alabama. So I wanted to throw those out there. Get a little clickbait for us because they were trying to do some clickbait, and that didn't prove out too well.
You know, guys, kind of one of my rants is, or not really a rant, just a comment. From December or January when our season ended until now, Ty Simpson must have improved a whole lot because last year he couldn't beat Milroe out. That's funny to me. I mean, he was much better than Milroe last year.
I think part of it was DeBoer just wanted to stay with
you're right.
Milroe till the end, you know. And
crazy.
I don't know, but.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. He didn't want to.
It was too late after the Oklahoma game. I mean, you know, that Oklahoma game, we win that game. We're in the SEC championship game, and then, you know, we lost. And at that point, it was too late to put in Ty Simpson for it to matter.
Don't you wonder if Ty started last year, how we would have finished that year?
I think he would have done better. He would not have had the lows that Milroe did, and he could have run the offense better. But I've got even something. Go back to prior year, Saban's last year. Now, who is the OC? Tommy Rees. Where did he come from? Notre Dame. So when they sat Milroe on the bench, who did they give the
Buckner
first chance to? The drop the snaff, lacrosse playing Ty Buckner. They didn't even give Ty Simpson a fair chance to win that job 2 years
ago. Ty Simpson won that South Florida game.
Well, and they didn't give him a fair chance because Tommy Rees was playing favorites with his Notre Dame boy because he thought he knew the Notre Dame offense that he wanted to run. And then Saban just threw them both out and went back to Milroe. And, I mean, hats off. Saban had a productive year with Milroe. He didn't turn the ball over like that. He didn't make the dumb mistakes.
Beat Georgia and went to the
We playoffs. Almost beat Michigan and almost went to the championship. But I don't think Ty got a fair shake because of Tommy Rees. And then the next year –
Sheridan.
I don't know how much he got a fair share. I mean,
Simpson has been sitting for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been sitting. He was behind Bryce Young, too.
Well, right. But, I mean, understandably, he came in as a freshman and was going to sit behind Bryce.
No, I'm just saying that you don't see a lot of people sitting for that long. I mean, he's been sitting since 2022.
This is very much like Mac Jones, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Hey, guys, and you know who really wanted Ty Simpson?
Who?
Dabo. Dabo wanted him over Cade Klubnik. And when Ty came here, then he went and got Cade Klubnik. And Klubnik's struggling. And imagine throwing Simpson in there with Clemson. They'd be much better. So it's kind of funny how it works out. And Ty, you are a guy. Hats off. We salute you, baby. You're the man, and you're leading us. What a great first half of the season. And again, I do not blame FSU on Ty Simpson. He played really well. He and Jeremy Bernard showed up. Brailsford had a good game. Other than that, and it was coaching. And the thing I love about this season is I blame that loss on coaching, poor schemes, Ryan Grubb going ADD. I don't know what Kane was doing. He didn't know what it meant to set an edge, do any of that stuff. We got shredded. So I don't blame Ty. And I mean, Ty learned from it and he grew from it. But how much better has this team gotten? And yet, we have not maxed out our potential on this team. I love it. We can win this thing, guys. We can do it.
No, I think I'm impressed also because Beeman is out, right?
Yeah.
Latham's out, right? And then Clay Russell is out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think we just keep putting in these younger guys or less experienced guys and keep plugging and playing, man. I'm impressed with them.
Did I see Keon Keeley?
Yes, yes. He had like four tackles.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way he's actually out there.
Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to be like the next Will Anderson.
Well, he's finally showed up to the party and he's contributing.
Yeah.
And yeah. Justin Jefferson, he's been a baller. He's really stepped up. I mean, there's guys in Edrick Hill.
Bad, but Deontay Lawson's been a little quiet. I mean, he's not played terrible, but he's just kind of quiet out there.
But I don't see him missing things. I don't
see
him.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't see blatant like, let's not try to tackle the guy when they throw the ball down the sideline and let's run out of bounds like we're going to make an interception. I didn't see any of those kind of plays. So we'll get to that later, guys. I've got a fun little thing to show you all as we jump into this. But guys, I love the trajectory of this team and I love that we're winning when we're not playing our best football. That's a sign of a great team when you can go out and lay down what you call a B to, and we're going to grade this a B to B plus effort and you get the win on the road. I love that. I love it. All right. So let's jump in here to some stats. What things jumped out at you guys as we jump into the stats of the game? Cause I think the stats tell a lot on this game. Anything jump out to you guys?
Our highest receiver, I think, was Isaiah Horton. Of like 34 yards. It just showed to me that Ty Simpson spreads it around. He doesn't, just throw to one guy. Ryan Williams, zero catches. Jeremy Bernard didn't have a big game. But that shows me that we have depth and we have other guys we can get the ball to than just our studs. We don't have to have Ryan Williams go for 100 yards and two touchdowns. We can throw it to Horton and Daniel Hill and Jam Miller. He played well. He had
93 yards and was really on track till he got knocked out of the game. No, 85 yards. I'm sorry. He had 85 yards. But, I mean, he had a great game. And three different players caught touchdown passes. And I think, again, we spread it around to eight guys. So, pretty pretty just really balanced offense, but who's the linchpin in it all? Ty. He ties it all together. And I hated it when Jam went out because he was on track to get 100 yards, I think, guys. And I think he would have gotten a rushing touchdown too. So
I'm impressed with the third down conversion rate. We were 6 out of 15. I mean, that's not amazing, but compared to theirs at 1 out of 10.
Right.
1 for 10, that's amazing.
And how about the fourth down?
Yeah, fourth down. Three for three.
3 for 3, baby.
And then, you know, we had one turnover. I mean, they had two turnovers. It could have been 3 or 4.
Right.
Dijon Lee.
It could have been 5. I think they had two fumbles that we didn't recover. And Dijon Lee
didn't catch that interception.
You got another one, though, made up for
so,
it.
So I love that time of possession. Again, we're dominating the clock. That's huge. I think Ryan Grubb, when he gets in a rhythm, he's hard to stop. He starts stacking plays, and it's awesome.
And penalties, 5 for 50, so we weren't terrible, and Mizzou was 4 for 45, so
we're
back.
Oh, man, we still had more.
We had more, but just barely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love those stats overall. But, again, we didn't play our best, and we still run. But the time – to me, Rick, the time of possession, that was huge. Sweet. And we were milking the clock. And
Mod Hardy didn't do much.
It's amazing. You know, and after – it seems like to me a lot of times after you play Alabama, you kind of come down the next week. So, just from – it's a physical game. I mean, and we are probably we're the best team on their schedule. And so I would not be shocked if they go into Auburn and lose.
I wouldn't either. Unless Auburn just goes catatonic from that tough loss to Georgia. So
that was, yeah, I mean.
They're both reeling. Let's put it that way.
Auburn could easily be like, you know, have two less losses. Oklahoma, that was kind of crazy, that call.
Yeah.
And Auburn, I mean, in the Georgia game, wow.
Well, and if Jackson Arnold had any accuracy at all, he's leaving all sorts of plays.
They got a good defense, but their offense is abysmal.
But again, it's Jackson Arnold. He's getting receivers open, and they're scheming them open, and he can't hit them.
So. I'm sure he'll find them against us. You watch. I'm sure he will. He's going to find them somehow.
All right, let's do some grades here, guys. Let's grade the offense first. Any thoughts on how you'd grade the offense and any – you know, any particulars you want to say about the offense?
B plus.
Any things that jump out at you?
We got it done when we needed to. 3 for 3 on fourth down. But there were a few times, you know, like that fumble. 27 points is a good amount of points, but it's not, you know, A level amount of points. So we got what we needed to get done. So I'll say B plus.
Rick, how do you grade the offense in particular?
Yeah, I mean, comments? I think you can't give them an A, I don't think.
No way.
This game. So yeah, I would say B. Yeah.
Yeah. I put it down as a B plus because of the resiliency and we did enough to win. I mean, I'd probably give the offensive line a D.
The Caden Proctor play was an A-plus, though.
I love that. But just the number of times they beat us and were beating on Ty. But Ty played great. I mean, you have to give him at least an A-minus himself. I thought Jam got an A grade until he got knocked out of the game. Receivers were decent. The offensive line was really what held back the offense. It's just our inability to get a push. And then we were getting beat on those pass pro plays. But I think overall I gave it a B+ because we got 27, we got the win, we got the huge drive when we needed to put that touchdown on the board to give us the 10-point lead. And I love the resiliency. For them to come down and score, and then we score 17 straight points and get up 17-7, I love that. So I give it a B+. So I think we're all in that same range. How about the defensive grades? Will K, what about the defense?
I'll give them an A-. That first drive was not very good. I don't even think they had a third down. But, you know, forced two turnovers, and then, you know, they could have had three more. And, you know, they on that first drive in the second half, they had a short field. And then, you know, the last touchdown we gave up, you know, we were up by 10, kind of, you know, playing soft. But for the majority of the game, stopped Ahmad Hardy to 52 yards. Prabula didn't kill us and got the stops when we needed to. So I'll say a little bit better. Got a few sacks. I'll say an A-.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say A-. I'm just looking over the notes here. First possession, we they scored. I agree. That it would
that
be
was
A.
an F. That,
yeah,
was,
it would be a,
that drive was an F.
I give them an A to an A-plus if they had held them there. But then we had a three and out. Then we had a punt. Then we had a three and out. Then we had a field goal, and they scored. They scored, I think, after that fumble, right?
They did. Yeah, that was
yeah.
a short field. It was kind of like Vanderbilt. It was like
right.
when Vanderbilt sacked us and we had that bad punt, it was really similar to that.
And after
although
that,
they got the ball on like the 12-yard line or whatever.
Right. And after that, three and out. And then we had the next possession, interception. And then three and out, actually fake punt, actually fake punt.
Yeah,
and
stopped them on that.
Yeah. And then 10th possession, they scored. That's the one where we wish they had we had done a pass interference, which Jones had grabbed the receiver.
Yes, yes.
And 11th possession interception to Dejon Lee. So, yeah, I give him an A- also.
I was a little bit harsher on that. I gave him a B-, and it's really more because of the coaching and that first series. I thought Kane got too aggressive on blitzes, and I'm going to show you guys some still photos here in a little bit. Just quit blitzing when you don't need to blitz. Just put the two guy safeties over the top. That big chunk play they ran up the middle. We moved the safety out of the middle, and it's like, stop. And then that first drive, I don't know what we're doing. It looked like the FSU game there. I was like, I had nightmares of the FSU game and Gus Malzahn just thrashing us, and then Damani Jackson doesn't even try to tackle Norfleet. So I gave it a B- because our offense controlled the ball so much, they weren't on the field that much. So I didn't like that we gave up that touchdown at the end of the game. That one particularly bothered me, and that big chunk play, I gave him a B-, but I could be talked into a B.
Yeah.
How about special teams?
C.
Will?
Missed a field goal.
Bad punts, too.
Had a bad punt. I mean, you're supposed to make your field goals. Yeah, I'd probably say a C, too.
Although, you know, we did get a block on that kick, but it still went through.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, Xavier Brown got his hands
I mean,
on
you know,
that.
The stop them. Actually, you know, I changed my answer. We stopped them on the fake punt and weren't fooled by it. I'll give them a B-.
I gave him a B+, Will, because of that same
hey,
reason. Plus, we did
we got,
make other field goal.
And we got the onside kick. Easy.
Yep.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what it is, but they always scare me, onside kicks. But, you know, if I'm watching another team in the NFL, I expect them to get it
right.
every time. But when it's Alabama for some reason, I feel like they're going to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Cole Adams.
I'm like, oh, no, not onside kick.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about those. Maybe it's a South Carolina game from last year. But Cole Adams and
Dre
know.
Washington. Dre Washington made that tackle on the fake punt. And that's why I gave him a B+. It's because of those two plays. And we did make a field goal. Well, we missed a 49-yarder, the one that he missed. So, you know, but he made two other ones, right? We had two other fields. So it was 2 for 3. It's just something about outside about 43 yards. It's a roll
50,
of the
50.
Dice. Yeah.
And
how
I'll
about,
say that you know, back when we had Christian Jones returning punts, every time we would get a punt return, I'd be nervous that we drop it. Not with Cole Adams.
And no.
He's pretty sure-handed. So that's always good. But Christian Jones does give me nightmares.
All right, how about coaching? What were the coaching grades?
I'll go with an A.
Okay.
Because, you know, 3 for 3 on fourth down. Some pretty good play calls. Got the stops when we needed to. Got the scores when we needed to. I mean, you know, won the game. So I'll say it's an A on the road. 11
yeah,
A.
I'd say coaching was an A-. But I don't like that first drive. I don't like some of the play calling, especially out of the half. I felt like we could have really made this game and gotten out of reach in the first half, but we just kind of kept them close. And so yeah, I give them A-. So overall, really good, but not good enough.
I gave it a B, and the reason I gave it a straight B is the same things, Rick, you were saying. That first drive was inexcusable. I thought we were in all the wrong schemes, and I know they script what they're going to do, but we'd seen those kind of plays before. What are we doing? I thought that was an F, And then the Ryan Grubb that we talk about, where for some reason he likes to take shot plays and big drops that require time when we're in our own, you know, on our own 20-yard line. And I thought that was an inexcusable play call to cause Ty to get under duress. He fumbles the ball. They get the easy short field and score. And then the aggressive blitzes that we had, I don't get that. So I give it a B. It's like, come on, guys, tighten it up. But my point is we can do better and we still won. So I love the resiliency. I love that we got the win. So, but I think there's things to clean up both for the players and for the coaches. And so I'm hoping the coaches are still going to humble themselves and continue to go, gee, why did I do that? I put our team in a bad position, and I hope those guys – really tighten it up, because we can win an Natty if we can do it. We can get better. So I gave it a B, but the A for getting the win on the road, because any win on the road's great. So that was my – all right, let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then I'm going to show you guys some still shots. All right, give me a couple of good things, you know, just things that you're like, wow, that was good.
Ty Simpson. Ty
Simpson continues to impress.
Okay. Another good, anything.
Jim Miller, solid.
Yes.
Like I said earlier – maybe some of our second tier guys stepped up and showed that we don't need monster games from our stars, and that we can spread it out, you know, to Horton and whoever. Lazier Brooks, big fourth down catch. So showed that we can, you know, win without Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard on the road.
Yeah, I love the variety we have. I love Cuevas, Edwards, Brooks, Horton, so many people. Riley out of the backfield, Jim Miller out of the backfield.
Daniel Hill.
Yeah. There's so many weapons, y'all. I don't remember an Alabama team with this many weapons on offense. It's amazing.
Hey, and Derek Meadows looked like he was going to catch that until he got targeted.
Yeah.
That was brutal. Think about this, guys. We're not a great running team, yet we're a great offensive team. And I love the way we're able to use the pass in lieu of the run, the way we're able to use the short pass. And now Jam has been effective the last two games. So that's really been nice. But I like the way that even though we're not that traditional Alabama running team, I love the way we're still able to move the ball and move the chains and eat clocks. How many of our drives take 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes to score? Yet, how great has Ty been on the two-minute drill when he needed to? Georgia to run the clock out. And at the end of the first half in Georgia, he did a two-minute drill, goes and punches in it. And then remember Vanderbilt, he scored like a minute 13. At the end of the half, first half against Vanderbilt. So I love that. I love the fact that Ty's just been brilliant at that. So I wanted to throw that out. Other good things, that fourth down play, that fourth and eight play when they threw it to Brooks. I mean, great.
That was an NFL throw.
It was, and it was an NFL catch, and it was an NFL route run. I mean, that pattern, that play call was brilliant. Ty put it where only Brooks could get, but that was not an easy catch.
I mean, he did. I mean, you watch it from the angle of like, you know, not, you know, the same as Ty, but like from the same angle. And he didn't even look open.
I know.
He kind of threw him up. And I was like, why did he throw that ball on fourth and eight? But it was a dot.
It was awesome. And hey, that the fourth and whatever it was, fourth and one, fourth and two, that pass to Daniel Hill, that was not an easy pass. I don't think Milrow could have made that pass because he kind of looped it over and dropped it in, and then it was still high enough, and Daniel Hill had to time his jump and catch the ball, even though he was open. That was not an easy play. So
I think Milrow might lose this game.
No, yeah. I don't think Milrow could have won this game.
No. We'd have lost against Georgia, maybe Vanderbilt, and this game. Yeah.
Might have beat Florida State, though.
But. That's right.
All right. Any other goods that you want to point out?
Yeah, just another good thing, like kind of what we said, just a different way to say it. When I look at each of the team's possessions, I'm sure there's a way to do it, but I don't have it in front of me. But it looks like we probably averaged, you know, probably seven plays a drive, 7 to 8.
Yeah.
And they probably averaged four a drive. I mean, our drives were just much more methodical, longer. Of course, when you're scoring, your drives can be longer when you're doing three and outs, of course. But, I mean, yeah, we just had just methodical drives. Several of those. Like you said, John, probably seven. We probably averaged 6 minutes a drive, which is crazy.
It is really good the way we can chew clock using the passing game. It's hard to chew clock with the passing game, but the way we can just chew clock, move the chains, keep it going, pick up 4 and 5 first downs per possession, and then put it in the end zone. I love it.
Well, get this, John and Will. We had 10 possessions, including the fumble. We had 10 possessions, and we kept the ball 38 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even with 10 possessions, we're averaging like 4 minutes of possession, even with a fumble.
Right.
That one play drive. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty amazing.
All right, let's jump to the bad. What are some bad? And then we'll get to the ugly, but just, you know, some bad things.
First drive.
First drive.
I put that under the ugly. I held that one to the ugly, but it was bad.
I think sometimes the blocking on the offensive line is not where it needs to be. The guys need to get better. And I mean, we got to find our starting five and really get them ready for the rest of the haul here.
Domani Jackson.
I had him on the ugly.
He didn't look good against Georgia either.
No, he didn't. I think Dejon Lee may be starting this game. That's what I'm hearing. And that Michael Carroll may be starting as well.
The other bad was, I mean, you can call it ugly, I guess, was the targeting on Meadows and then also on Jen Miller that wasn't called.
How did they not call that? I don't get it.
No.
How?
You can call it ugly, maybe, that tip pass that Brailsford caught.
He's done that twice now this year.
Yeah.
I put the missed field goal as a bad. I didn't put it as an ugly, but I put it as a bad. We just outside of 45, it's just, should we just go for it?
And you know what, y'all? Jan Miller missed a few blocks this year, this game in the backfield. He didn't block really well this game. He usually does, but he didn't block great.
So I put another, here's another bad thing, and I rarely criticize Ty. Sometimes he's just got to throw the ball away.
Yeah, throw it away.
Sometimes he hangs on to it too long and just throw the ball away. But he'll learn. I'm sure they're talking to him. All right, let's go into what I want to call the uglies. The uglies. What? Anything just blatantly stand out as, God, that was not just bad. It was ugly.
That first play after the half. That was awful.
I guess I was just meshing the bad and the ugly together, but Domani Jackson's effort on that first touchdown.
I agree.
I put down the right tackle and pass pro just getting torched. He could not handle the speed rusher, gave up too many sacks. And I did put that first drive in my ugly section, Will. I took it beyond bad and put it in the ugly.
Now I'll put I missed this, and we haven't really talked about it. Bray Hubbard played good.
Yeah, no, he did. He definitely played well.
Made a few good tackles, interception.
Yeah, no, he had a real good game. Other than getting juked by Perbula, which I can put that in the bad, but yeah, no, he had a good game. We had a lot of guys that had.
Hey, depending on how you look at it, the ugly was that taunting call Missouri did to us on the first drive. That was huge.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was huge. I think it would have been third and long, but that gave us the first down.
And scored on that drive, yeah.
Yeah, that was not good. Okay, guys, I'm going to show some stills here that I want you guys to take a look at. And
we'll describe it to you.
That's right. All right, so here we go. All right, tell me when you can see the screen.
I see it.
That's it.
Yep. All right. And I call these head-scratching plays by Bama, cleanup on aisle 6. And these are plays that can get you beat. And in other words, why? Okay. Let me get this going here. All right. Here it is. Do you guys recognize this play? Can you see Midwood or Norfleet?
Oh, yeah.
And look at Domani. Now look at Domani there. Now look at that. What is he doing out of bounds? Can you make an interception over there? Let's look at that again. Why is he not running towards him? And then he's over here. What? I mean, I mean, do you have any words? I don't. It's like, what the heck's going on? I mean,
Like I
have a
said, the
word.
ugly, that play, his effort. Yeah.
It just shows you. And then there he is out of bounds. He could have pushed him out of bounds, right? If nothing else, that he should have been out of bounds at the 10-yard line as he's catching the ball. So I don't get that. That's just a poor effort play. I don't put that in the coaching category. All right, now this is the next play that makes you go, why? Why? Okay, recognize this play. Now, can you see my cursor here on number 12?
Yeah.
That's Mincy. That's
Mincy.
Xavier Mincy. He
Right.
should be right there where the official is. He should be free safety. They call an aggressive blitz. Okay, now you see him going in the blitz. There is nobody at home in the middle of the field. Look at what they're doing. I mean, why are we doing this aggressive blitz? What? We've been stopping them. We've made them go multiple three and outs. Now look at that. There is nobody home right there. See the official? Mincy should be standing right there, ready to make the tackle. All right, now
Big
watch
hole.
this. And then he gashes it, and I think that's 42, right?
Yeah, Pierre.
That's Yanze Pierre. He had
Right.
a chance, and he breaks that tackle, and now there's nobody home. Mincy should be standing right where the ref is, and that should have been limited to a 5 to 7 yard play.
Hey,
That's
go
a
back.
hyper aggressive. That's a hyper aggressive play. Why are we
Okay,
doing
right
it?
there. Okay, right there. Right in front of Mincy is Jordan, is Justin Jefferson. He also, I saw another guy from a different angle. They said you have Lawson, he's got his gap. Jefferson's right in front of Mincy. Jefferson's supposed to roll around that tackle. He doesn't. He
Yeah,
leaves
you
that
can
gap.
see Jefferson right there. He gets sucked into.
He gets lost. Yeah.
But we didn't need to blitz. We
Yeah.
were stopping him. We didn't. I mean, quit the crate. You're not Brent Venables. I'm sorry, Kane Womack. You're not Brent Venables. Brent Venables is the master of the blitz.
But
And
John, sorry, if you're going to blitz, you linebackers better get the gas right.
yeah,
That's the
but we didn't need to do it. We had forced them multiple three and outs. We didn't need to
Right.
do that. Just limit them to 10 yards. They're on the 30-something yard line. Just dumb, dumb, dumb. And then there he goes. He just breaks it up there. And look at that. And Mincy should have been right there to make that tackle. That should have been
Wasn't
limited.
even a Mod Hardy.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but this guy, Jamal Roberts, he's big time. He's a big time running back too. He's really fast. He was averaging 7 yards a carry. They have two legitimate backs there. But the point
Y'all.
is, you take this play away and we go into the half at least 17-7 instead of 17-10. Stupid.
Hey, Dejon Lee is gonna be a big time player for
Oh
us,
yeah.
isn't
He
he? I mean
runs him down.
he catches him. I mean he catches that
Yeah.
running back. It's
Right.
amazing.
Right, he catches him, but the point is, it never should have gotten
I
to
know.
that. It
But
was dumb. Kane, why are you doing that? Quit.
I
Quit.
just didn't realize when you go back two slides and Dejon Lee, I mean, he's not that running back is, and he catches him fairly short order for, and if they get it's a 30-yard gain, I think. But you got a 6-foot-4 defensive back running you down. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's just huge chunk play. Why are we doing that?
Yeah, I know.
It drove me crazy. All right, here's the next play.
I know that
First play of the second half. Why are we calling a shot play? This is what we did against Vanderbilt, and they sacked us, and then we had to have that 30-yard punt, and Vandy goes in and score. Why are we doing this? Ryan Grubb, right, Rick? You call it his ADD. He can't help himself. We moved the chains with the. I mean, why? Watch this. Okay, here we go.
play action.
We got seven guys blocking six rushers. Seven guys. We got Quavis. You can see Quavis over here. And I think this is Lewis right here.
Lewis, yeah.
And then you see the blitz coming. So you got six guys blitzing seven. But look, there's no underneath. There's no underneath. And he's taking a big drop, and there's nobody to throw to underneath. And he's about to get munched. And then this is where you said Jam misses his block.
Yeah.
Brutal. I
Happened a few
mean,
times.
he didn't even hardly lay a glove on him.
Right.
And okay, now do you see Lewis is kind of peeling
Yeah.
out over here? Had
Right.
he gone to the middle of the field that was wide open, because this is his back shoulder. If
Right.
Lewis had gone here and been a safety valve, he could have just thrown the ball to Lewis for a 5, 10 yard gain. So, but again, why this is unnecessary. Why are we doing a shot play? Our receivers are way the heck downfield. What are we doing? And then Watch this. Now this is where he runs into Vandermark, because Vandermark gets pushed back and he just completely blows up the play. And then just that was a huge 7-point swing as well. Those are 10 points we didn't need to give up. I mean, this led directly to 7, and then that chunk play where he had the overly aggressive, take 10 points off the board from them, and we're in great shape here. I mean, just dumb. I call that, that's the kind of stuff we did against FSU that drove me crazy. We've done a lot less of this, but we still got to clean that up. So
Yeah.
that's where he gets blown up. All right, now this is the other play that drove me crazy. Look at the time on the clock, 1:55. We're up 10. Why are we aggressively blitzing again here? Why are we going single man coverage, three wide? Why are we blitzing? Kane, what are you doing? We had been stopping them. Why are we not in bend but don't break? And this is, Rick, where you said, do the PI.
Yeah.
Because look at number 7 here, and this is number 1, that freshman receiver. He's great. He's a great
Right.
player. But I mean, it's a jailbreak, and we should have safeties over the top to help break on this ball, but we're not because we committed to the blitz here, and our safeties, it's like we don't need to blitz. And then just watch, you can see 1's blown by 7.
He should have grabbed him right there.
Right there, yeah, just interfere. Go ahead and interfere and
Right.
make it 15 yards, not the 3-yard line. And that would have eaten clock. And then great play, great pitch and catch. But again, it's why are we in man coverage on that? I don't get it. Why didn't we have two high safeties? And then if you want to man up, but I don't get it. And so then they get there, and then they get the 7 points, and boom. So again, that makes me go, why? That's why I call this plays. These are the plays that get you beat, that we do this against an Ohio State, or we do it against an Indiana or a Miami. This is how you lose in the playoffs. And I think we're going to the playoffs. I feel really good about that. But this, so I, you know, thoughts on these plays. I just wanted to run through them with you. And these are the ones that drove me crazy when I watched the game. It's like we left so much on the field had we not done these stupid things. We could have
Yeah, and
won
I
by we
agree
could
with
have won
that.
by 2 to 3 scores. We could have won by 10 to 21 points.
Yeah, I could have kept my heart rate down a little bit more.
Agreed.
Yeah,
Agreed.
we definitely made this game closer than it should have been.
Right, exactly. So I didn't get that. So that drove me crazy. All right. Parting shots. Any other thoughts as we wrap up this upon further review?
Not a perfect game. Could have won by more, like we just said, but a win nonetheless on the road against a top 15 team. Still got, I know we're favored in all these games, but some of these games are still a lot of talent, gonna be pretty tough. So need to keep the pedal to the metal, keep winning, because we still have one loss, and if we get another one, there's gonna be zero room for error. We got a little
Correct.
bit, but we gotta continue to win. We can't. Got to beat Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Auburn. I mean, it's the SEC. You never know. Yeah.
T-Pain.
I agree. If you can win on the road in the SEC, not playing your best, that's a feather in your hat there, man. That's huge. And so, I know sometimes it's easier to learn from failures, but I want to learn even with a win. You can learn through the failures within the game. So hopefully the coaches are learning some of the things. They're watching Amateur Hour and they're taking notes. And but yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of talking points for them to coach on this week based on what happened last week. But I much prefer talking points and coaching points after a win than I do a loss. So.
Sean Payton, and I've heard him say this himself when he's been interviewed. I love Sean Payton as a coach, NFL Super Bowl winning coach, New Orleans. Now he's with the Denver Broncos. He said he loved nothing more than winning and playing, a B minus to C plus game. Because he said, number one, you get the win, guys are happy. Number two, you got a lot of stuff to go in there and teaching points and get better and clean up and get the guys' attention. Because when you're in those losing streaks, you play not your best and you lose, then you may lose the team. But when you don't play your best and win, you can get guys refocused on raising their game. So
Right.
I love the fact this team is resilient.
They
The
are.
team last year would not have won this game. They
Right.
would not have done it. So I love the way we've stepped up and the resiliency of this team. So that
Yeah,
was
it could
my
be
parting shot.
could be a lot worse. You could be a Clemson or a Penn State fan right now.
Oh
Woo!
gosh. Oh gosh.
Or
And how
Texas.
resilient are we that we had that bad output against Florida State, and now we're 5-1 and 3-0 in the SEC, and we're undefeated on the road in the SEC. I mean, how great is that?
Let's go,
I mean, you
baby.
know, even Nick
Stephen A.
Saban.
Smith, eat it, baby.
That's right. No,
Joel
even
Platt, eat it.
Nick Saban's teams, sometimes they would have a falter in the year, and they'd lose one and they'd come back stronger. But I think, with Florida State this year, it was just different because it was, a team that was come off a 2-10 year, and it was the first game of the year.
Right.
With Nick Saban, they might lose to like LSU 9-6 or like, drop one to Ole Miss or Texas A&M or whatever, but they'd come back and you still had kind of had some faith that, it's Nick Saban. It's, we've got a good defense, we've got AJ McCarron or whatever. We'll be fine. But this resiliency makes me feel better than that because it's not just Nick Saban.
Yeah, well, it's taken me 5 weeks or at least 5 games to say I trust this coaching staff. After week one, I was like, man, I don't trust you guys. After Louisiana Monroe, I'm like, okay, great. Wisconsin, okay, show me something. Georgia, I'm like, okay, I see you, K.
I see you.
I see you. And then Vanderbilt, I'm like, hey, that's the game I thought they might do something stupid, the coaches. And so now I'm going to be a believer in the staff, man. I mean, I already believe in the players. We have the talent, and I believe in Ty as a leader. But these coaches are starting to make me believe here. So excited.
Well, in that Vanderbilt game too, the resiliency for Vanderbilt goes down and scores. Then we go down, throw the interception. Oh, no. We went down through the interception because I thought we were going to score out of the gate. And Ty gets his first interception. Then they rip off that huge run up the middle again. Where were the safeties over the top? Too aggressive. He pops the hole. I could do the same clip there with the stills, and you'd see exactly the same thing. Kane, what are you doing? And I was sitting with Rick, and I'm like, I want him fired. I want him gone. I
I
was
mean,
ready to fire Kane.
really bad at that moment. I thought, here we go again.
And then resilient, and we win that game. And
Right.
it was a close game. I mean, I think the 30-14 score didn't reflect how close it
Right.
was, but we got it done. We fought back, and in this game again, resilient. And
Right.
so love it, love it, love it. All right, let's wrap it up. Give me your final thoughts.
I think I've already kind of
He did
talked about it,
it.
but
All right,
said
well,
it three
bye.
separate times. But
Oh,
I
bye,
mean,
bye, Will K. Bye, Will K.
Tennessee's got a good offense. They've played a few like bottom feeder SEC teams kind of close. Makes me think this game might be a shootout. They're going to score points. We're going to score points. The line is 8.5, which is kind of a big line, if you ask me, but I mean, what do I know? I'm not Las Vegas. But I think it'll be a shootout. But Tennessee's defense is not good. I mean, they beat Arkansas by 3 points. Probably should have lost to Mississippi State, but
They
they
should
also should
have.
have beat Georgia, though. So I mean,
Right.
you never really know. So, and I don't want to lose to Tennessee 2 years in a row. So,
I hate
nice.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I do too. My parting shot is basically, like I said earlier, proud of the team. They're resilient. They won on the road. And Tennessee, we haven't gotten into them yet. We're going to, but from what my first look at Tennessee is that they're a pretty good passing team. I think that feeds into our hand, plays in our hand pretty well. I think our best attributes are passing defense. So I think we're going to be able to be good, and our offense is going to score at home. We're going to score. I think we're going to score in the 30s to 40s, and I think Tennessee is going to have a hard time scoring with us. So,
And Heupel, he likes to take shots.
he will. And they've got a receiver that can go get it. I don't know if you guys have watched
Brazel,
Brazel, but he is a deep,
we'll put Dejon Lee on
he's
him.
tall. It's going to be a battle. I mean, you almost have to double cover him, because you leave a single coverage, you're asking for trouble. That's where you may have to take the PI, so you take a touchdown off the board.
Take a PI every play, though. Or, I mean, you got.
Well, no, I understand that, but I'm saying there may be that choice may have to happen, because they will. They'll throw it deep to him and throw those go routes, and he's good at it. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
All right, guys, are we wrapping it up? Are we done? Wrap it up?
Wrap it up. I think we have wrapped it up.
All right. Thank everyone for listening. Wherever you access the podcast, whether you're on YouTube channel, iHeart, Spotify, Apple, RSS, the like, please like, follow, subscribe. God bless, and roll tide.
Roll tide.